And so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea and over fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in chapter 2, if you'll look in verse number 7, we'll read a couple of verses. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And if you look in verse number 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Heavenly Father, thank you for these sweet verses we've been allowed to read tonight. I would ask, Lord, that you would use some of the principles and precepts presented, Lord, in this, the book of beginnings. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to maybe perhaps cling on to some things that would help us in some way to strengthen our marriage and Lord, marriages, and Lord, to take care of each other. And Lord, may we want to have a marriage that emulates your original intent, Lord, what you wanted from the very beginning. And so as we study these things, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. We want to place our marriages upon the rock. We want them to be founded upon a rock. And so Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And gentlemen, let me just say an introduction. You know, God has placed us in the position of leadership in the home. And so a lot of the things that we say tonight, we as men ought to be the very first ones that grab a hold of these principles and do the very best we can to implement these things into our marriage. I think marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a God-ordained institute. It's blessed of the Lord. The Bible calls it an honorable thing. And let me just say this, folks. These two, first man and woman, did not live together. This is not a common law marriage. God himself brought the two of them together, declared them to be husband and wife. And so marriage is honorable in all, and a great example in the Garden of Eden. Now, all of the chapters, all of the verses that we read was before sin came in. And so this gives us a view into the original intent that God had for marriage, some of the things that he did, the ways that he set things up. And this is before chapter 3, when sin begins to mar the situation. So in some ways, although we should consider carefully everything the Bible says about marriage, boy, you talk about marriage in its purest form, in its innocency, as God originally wanted it to be. These few verses contain some great principles concerning marriage. And so I'm just going to share these with you tonight. We'll cover a handful of them and watch the clock. And then if we have to finish this next week, we will. But we'll see how we do tonight. But let me give you several things. Man, number one, man and woman were created in the image of God. Remember what it said in verse number 27 of chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now it's very important. This is a great clue, a great help to us as we begin to enter into marriage. Young couples enter into marriage, and of course, you know, there's a lot of learning of each other and figuring things out. Have you noticed that everything that looked so easy before you got married, it becomes a little bit more complicated after you get married? And so one of the things that God reminds us of is, folks, this: we are a very special creation. Man and woman being created by God is the crowning glory of His creation. In some ways, we are created unlike anything else that He created. And we see a little bit more of a description of the actual creation process in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now think about that. Everything else, God spoke and it was so. God spoke and it was so. But you notice how God slows down. The hands of God now are involved as He takes the dust and forms carefully the first body of the first man. And so we see that right away, whatever He's doing, it's different and it's special and it's unique, even in its creation process. No other thing that breathes does God say this about, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Only man. Now think about that, folks. That means the lips of God touched the lips of that body. That means God's breath entered into man and sparked life into that man. You know, every once in a while, we need to be reminded that being a human being is an exalted position on this earth. Somebody sometimes says, well, preacher, you know, I try to do right and I try to do right, but I'm only human. You know, that's not a real good excuse to use, because that ought to be the thing that inspires you to live up to the image of Almighty God in which you were created. What do you mean, I'm only human? You ought to square your shoulders up and say, I'm a human being. I'm not like an animal. I'm not like any other creation. I was made in a unique fashion. I was formed with the very hands of God. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that's what happened to Adam, but we weren't created like that. Oh, you better read Jeremiah chapter number 1, because the Bible says that while Jeremiah was in the womb, God formed, I formed thee and ordained thee to be a prophet. I believe the hands of God are in tender work, carefully crafting and making every single precious child that's being carried in their mother's womb. And you know that I say this, but isn't it horrible, folks? January, this is the month that we look back and mourn over another anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And I don't say this with the intent of hurting anybody. You never know, by the way, folks. You say, preacher, you've gotten to be a little more tender in your years. How come young preachers are so caustic about this stuff? And so I had adamant, are you compromised? No, I just counsel a lot. And I know that there's a lot of people that, you know what, had former lives before they found the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, if they knew what they knew, what I'm teaching tonight, they wouldn't make decisions that they've made in the past. Aren't you glad that God can take a mess of a life and turn it into a trophy of grace? And so I'm not trying to heap guilt upon guilt here. That's not the intent. But I'm saying this for the sake of every one of our young ladies. And I'm trying to battle this wicked philosophy that's being pushed even into the Church of Jesus Christ. And folks, the honest truth is, when a child is being growing up in the womb, you know what? It's the hands of God that is forming that child. What man feels like they have the right to reach into the most sacred of places and to destroy a human life that's in the process of being formed by the very hands of God? And so life should remain precious, and we as Christians shouldn't compromise on that one little bit in our lives. And so we see that mankind is unique here. By the way, gentlemen, you married a woman, a lady, who is formed in the very image of God. Ma'am, you are married to someone who is formed in the image of God. And the Bible says in this verse, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the field. Back in the former verse, he says, let us make a man in our image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. God said, let us make man in our image. Now, remember, we're talking about a triune God. Now, I'm not going to go into a deep teaching of this. I had mentioned this a couple messages ago, and I had a couple of men stop me and say, Brother Jerry, you talked about understanding our parts, understanding how we're constructed and created. And if you understand this, it's going to help you, number one, with you. But we are a triune creature. Those of us that have been born again have a body and a soul and a reborn spirit. Somebody who is not born again has a body and a soul, but their spirit is dead. They're not a triune being. They won't be. And that's why the idea of somebody who's lost trying to be developed spiritually, it can't happen. You can't develop something that's dead. So the first thing that needs to happen for us to be put back into the original creation image of God needs, we need to be saved. But folks, we need to understand. I'm not going to go into it tonight, and maybe this is something, honestly, I don't know what we're going to do this year. If I did some things that were just really, 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 really kind of unique, you know, I always act like I'm asking you as if I'm waiting for your permission, you know. Just stay with your preacher. There are some times I really feel like that on a Sunday night, and there's some, we're all so busy, and to plan all these extra things, I may have the ladies go with my wife sometime. Yeah, she's got ordination papers too. And no, but you know what? She does have Titus chapter 2. And sometimes I think that there's ladies that need to explain some things to ladies, and if you don't understand some things, there's reasons sometimes that you struggle. But one of the things that, and men, sometimes I feel like we just need to have man time and talk about some things. And I may have you know, the kids and teens taken somewhere, you know, Six Flags or something on a Sunday night service, and no, we'll do something with them. But you know what, sometimes we just need to do some training. And it's not that I don't think you know, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason that we're struggling where we're struggling. And there are some things a little hard to say in mixed company, but we need taught. But you know what? If you understand, that's just not a person standing there. That's someone made in the image of God, made in the image of a triune God. That person is body, soul, and spirit. Every single part of that person has specific needs that need to be met. And if we're not understanding how we're created, number one, it's hard for us to manage and maintain and take care of ourselves, and it's really hard for us to minister to people around us, especially our own family. And so we'll do some teaching on that in the future. But man and women are created in the image of God. Is your wife a Christian? Is your wife a Christian, sir? You know what? You know who her heavenly Father is? I think I can say this. One of my son-in-laws I ever found out was unkind or hostile or abusive to one of my daughters. You know, for the most part, I understand. I need to, as mom and daddy, you know, you got to know where to draw the lines. But there ain't no line there. I'll whip you. You say, well, some of them guys are bigger than you. Yeah, but I don't fight fair. What good's that ever done? I mean, when you come to fighting, there ain't rules, is there? Is there any rules? I thought the rule was win. And but I mean that with all my heart. Now, wait a minute, watch this. You know, the way you talk to your wife, you're talking to a child of Almighty God. That's a child of God. You know, daddy listens. You know her daddy's listening? Are you getting this? And there's some things, folks, that are sacred. Yes, there's that precious relationship, but that doesn't mean there's not other relationships going on. And the most important relationship is a relationship with her God and your relationship with your... Ma'am, you know when you mistreat that husband of yours, you're mistreating a child of God? You know his father's watching? And so just remember that. Be careful about that. Understand body, soul, and spirit. There's needs involved in all of those arenas, and to learn each other, very important. Number two, God created the man first and placed him in the garden. Chapter 2, if you'll notice that, verse number 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And so, God not only placed a man, but he placed a specific place for that man to be at, a perfect spot, a perfect will as far as geography. I've heard people sometimes say, well, it doesn't matter where you are in life, just as long as what you're doing is what you ought to be doing. I don't agree with that. I think that there is not only a will of God when it comes to what you're to do, but there's a will of God concerning where you are to be. And I have watched through the years people that were in a place where I believe God wanted them to be, had for them to be. But you know what? They got discontent, or perhaps there was a job opportunity and money lured them to a different place. I'm appalled at the Christians that move across the country to take another job and don't even know if there's a good church in the area. And you know what? Even if there is a good church in the area, let me ask you a question. And I would say that to the same thing to a person that's in another part of the country considering moving here. I'm not saying this to try to keep you here. I'm saying this to try to keep Christians where they belong. But I do believe that there is a place, not just a thing or a purpose, but a place where God wants me to be. We laugh every once in a while. Me and Cheryl, the first time we were allowed to go to Colorado and rent a car and drive through the Rocky Mountains. I mean, if you've ever been there, it's just breathtaking. And there's just parts. You know what? I don't have a real desire, to be honest with you, to go outside of the boundaries of the United States. I just don't. I've always felt like if I could see everything that we have in our own country, it's so beautiful, so gorgeous. But, I mean, you're driving through that. I remember looking at my wife and saying something along the lines of, wait a minute, this is America. We're free. We can live wherever we want to. Why aren't we living here? This is amazing, you know. Well, you know why we're not living there? It's something called the will of God. And you know what God said about Jacob? He said, and he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. You know what? There were some places where Jacob spent some time in his life where he didn't receive much blessing. He had a lot of problems, a lot of turmoil. But it's amazing, when he got back to the place where he met God, God blessed him there. I think there's a there for you. And I think there's a there for me. And you ought to just be careful. Let me just say this, church members. I believe this. I sit in the... We had four, by the way, four visitors' cards. This was in a fun month, or a fun week. We had four visitors' cards turned in last Sunday, four different times. I got a set in the home of somebody that had visited our church and marked on their card, looking for a new church. And that always gives the pastor big green light. Get in that home and looking for a new church. And you know what I said to every single person? I said, first of all, ask them some preliminary questions about the services and where they made to feel welcome. And then I said, I always say this, I didn't come here to try to talk you into coming or joining Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I found out this through the years. If a man can talk you into something, another man can talk you out of it. But if God tells you something and God puts you somewhere, then you know what? You'll probably stay. And so all I'm here to do is answer whatever questions you would have concerning your visit here and tell you whatever you'd like to know and pray with you about this important decision that you're making. Oh, Brother Jerry, you ought to be more you ought to put pressure on. No. You know what? We try to play God too much, don't we? But folks, listen to me. I think when God places you somewhere and it was the hand of God that done it, you ought to be careful. Look up here and let me help you. There ain't a person in this room, I don't care how long you have been here, that didn't go through times where things weren't perfect here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in your life. And too many times we just cut and run when things get a little rough. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to take your problem with you. Okay? Because the next place there's going to be a problem. What are you going to do? Cut and run then? And the next place there's going to be, you're going to cut and run there? See, a lot of you are looking for utopia, and there is no utopia. You're looking for the perfect church. You know what everybody says about the perfect church. If you find it, don't join it. You'll mess it up. Amen. If I find it, I'm not going to try to pastor it because I know I'd mess it up. But, you know, it's not a matter of looking. It's a matter of, God, where do you want me? Where do you want my family? And settle on that. But God created Adam and put him in a specific spot. Gentlemen, let me say this. I know I say this from time to time, but it's not an accident that God opened up the door to the job that you have right now. God placed him there. You know, look around. Well, Brother Jerry, it's not even exactly everything I know, but if he allowed this for this time, I'm not saying don't ever take a different job. I'm just saying God puts men places, Christian men, places for specific reasons. There's a reason. And it's beyond a paycheck. There's a reason. And so you ought to start looking at that workplace as a mission field and start saying, you know what, why did God put me in this particular place? Where is there a person here that God wanted me to influence for him? God placed him there. Listen, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet God found one spot on that earth and put one garden. And I don't think that doesn't mean there weren't other gardens. But that was Adam's garden. That was the Garden of Eden. That was Adam's place. You know what? Blessed is the man that finds the place of God's will, settles in, and stays. You know what? I don't have itchy feet. I was told this a while back, and let me just put your mind at ease. You know, I had a member. I like it when members are honest with me. One man said that. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things that makes me a little nervous about you out preaching some is I'm afraid one of these days you're going to find a place that you'll like better than Blessed Hope." Well, folks, I've done that already a bunch of times. Just kidding. You know what I say? You've heard me say it. The best part of every trip I've ever taken in my life is what? Coming home. And you know what? There's a lot of people who would show up at Jacksonville, Indiana, look around and think, "You got to be kidding. Are you really?" But you know what? This is home. This is home. I worry about preachers that's just always looking for that next pulpit. Your Brother Joe, you know them. You've seen them. And they never settle, do they? And, you know, if you're going to influence a community and if you're going to influence families, you're not going to do it in months or years. You're going to do it in decades. Amen. And so, you know, that's not just good for the pulpit. That's good for the pew. And so think about those things and just, you know, the preacher, isn't God ever move people? Of course he does. Absolutely. We can go to the Bible and show you where God sometimes relocates people. There were people that are members here now that were members somewhere else before they came here. I know God relocates people from time to time. I just don't think he does it every 2.3 years. All right. And the sad part about it is the pulpit stays are shorter than that. Isn't that a shame? Whatever happened to just showing up and saying, "You know what, God, this will do. Thank you. Let's roll our sleeves up and get busy, and let's just spend a lifetime doing something here." What a wonderful thing. Number three, God gave man, when he put him in the garden, both purpose and responsibilities. In chapter 2, verse number 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Notice this, two things, to dress it and to keep it. Dressing, it's talking about taking care of the plants and trimming and watching over it and manicuring it. It's the actual job that he had. He was giving a job. Gentlemen, God created us to work. Some people think that work is part of the curse. Work isn't part of the curse. Really, we've got to stop this. The fact that we've got to earn bread by the sweat of the brow is, but work was part of God's intent. There is, listen, you want me to show you a miserable man? You want to get in the car and visit miserable men? You find that one that gets up whenever he feels like it, has no purpose, no plan. Now, everybody that's a hard worker said, "Preacher, I understand that, but man, that sounds good for about 3 days." You know what I can say to that? Amen. But you know what? After 3 days, does it feel good anymore? I mean, you know, some of you have been under the flu bug and you've got it for 3 or 4 days, and I seen Brother Greg here this morning. I said, "Brother Greg, should you be here? You just had the surgery." He said, "Man, I got cabin fever. I'm going crazy." And you know what? He probably shouldn't have come, but he just wanted to get out of the house. And I don't get it. I don't understand couch potato mentality. I don't. And those men are not happy because they're not fulfilled. There is something God put inside of a man. He wants to find something. He wants to walk into a garden and say, "We can make this better. We can sharpen it up. We can change things. We can do things." It's in the heart of man to want to do something, to put his hands to something, to labor, to have a project, to have a job, to have a purpose in life. And so that's in your husband. Ladies, understand that. That's in your husband. Well, I just don't know why he's so excited about going to work. It's not because he doesn't love you. He doesn't miss you. It's because if he was at home, you wouldn't want him there anyway. Not very long. Because he'd go crazy. Now, sometimes, folks, I'm going to show you this in a minute. But there is a difference for the purpose for which a woman was made and a purpose for which a man made. A man, that doesn't give us an excuse to become workaholics and ignore our wives and ignore our children and not take time with the family. But I'm telling you, ladies, you've got to understand this. You've got to understand and accept this as God is part of God's original intent, is that if you want to marry a man, and I mean a man, then you know what part of the makeup of that man is, that he needs to go out and do the will of God and find the work that God's given him to do and do something. He has to do that. And so that's part of the intent. But not only was he there to dress it, he was there to keep it. And this speaks to the responsibilities of protection. You see, Adam was not just put in charge to make sure that garden when he got done, was an increasingly better place to live. And isn't it true that this community ought to be a better place to live because Christian men live here? That your place of employment ought to be a more successful place and a better place because you're employed there? That's the way it ought to be. This community, if it's not better because Jerry Ross has lived here, then I've failed. I've failed. And if it's not better because you've lived here, then you're failing. And men that come and suck and like a leech attach themselves to a society and suck everything out of it, never give anything back, are not men. They're not men. And so, lady, ma'am, did you want to marry a man? Well, that's the way he's wired. That's the way he's made up. If you're fussing with him over it all the time, then what you're doing is you're telling him to forsake something that God put in him. He can't not do these things. And so it's put in him. But not only is he there to make sure that that garden is a better place and that the responsibilities, the work responsibilities, is taken care of, but the Bible says, and to keep it, which means he was to walk guard around that garden. He was to protect that garden. Now, did you notice, folks, when Satan approaches Eve in Genesis chapter number 3, he approaches her at a time when who's not there? Adam's not there. Now, I don't know if Adam was delinquent in his responsibilities of protection, but let me say this, folks, isn't it true? No matter how much we try to protect, you know what, to a certain extent, we can't save everybody from everything. And so we have to understand the principles of the Word of God. But he needed to be in a protect mode and to keep it. You know, it's normal. These young men, it's in them. They get about teenage years, and you know what? You don't have to tell them, now, you watch over and take care of mama, or you watch over and take care of the little sister. They get into, now, they may aggravate each other, torment each other, but you know what? They get out in public, and somebody starts messing one of the woman folk. Are you young men listening to me? Somebody starts messing with one of your women folk in your family. You know what? You need to step up. Oh, well, preacher, I'm not big enough. Well, that's all right. All right, go down fighting. No, I mean it. There ought to be something inside of you that says, uh-uh. No one's going to mess with my mama. No one's going to mess with my sister. And some of you young men, I mean it. When you go out on youth trips, different things, I expect the young men, you ought to be watching over our young ladies. I'm not talking about just the chaperones. I'm talking about our young men. We take you out. We put you on these streets and knock on doors. And young men, we try to arrange it as best we can. Have our young men, especially, not we don't do this every place we go, but I will tell you this, there's communities, Brother Reiser and me have talked about this, that are a little more suspect, maybe a little more, we got to be a little more careful in. A lot of times he'll assign a young man, two young men on one side of the street, two young ladies on the young men, he didn't put you there so you could glance over at those girls once, take off down the road, and never check on them again. Okay? You ought to know where they're at. Well, they got caught at the door and we're way up here. Then you stop and you wait till they get done. You let them catch up a little bit. Are you listening to me? This is something that's part of being a man and an original intent responsibility. I like guns. I got a lot of them. Okay? I know how to use them. I know how to use them very well. Hey, preacher, you wouldn't really shoot somebody, would you? Yeah, absolutely I would. Absolutely I would. Have no problem. Somebody breaks into my house, they're going to come to my house, they're going to be calling an ambulance or a meat wagon, but they're not. You say, I just can't believe this. You're supposed to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. This is original intent. You know, I used to tell our teenagers, you know, sometimes we get playing jokes on each other. I'd say, I was a youth pastor, and I'll, guys, listen, we can have fun here, but don't ever, you know, guys always get this thing in their mind, let's sneak out and sneak up Pastor Jerry's house. I was like, don't you do that. Don't you think in the middle of the night you're going to knock on the window. Look, folks, I shoot first, ask questions later. Amen. I'm sorry, I had three daughters and a wife. There's one man in the house. Come on. And we was at a IGA one afternoon. Hannah Dawn was here. She could tell you the story. But we went, me and Hannah, she's probably about a 16-year-old girl, then walked in the IGA here in Jacksonville and was going down getting a few things. I don't know if I've ever told this story or not. She'd tell it to you, and then we were getting a few things after church, headed towards the cash register, and a couple boys were hanging out over there in one of the sections, and about the time we went past them and went down the aisle and turned to go to the cash register, about the time we turned, one of them catcalled her. They whistled at her. Buddy, I did an about face, told her, you head up near the cashier, and I went back, and I got into those boys' face. Yeah, you could hear me at the front of the store. Yeah, the manager came. Yes, I caused a ruckus. Amen. Amen. And it's amazing. You know what was miraculous? Neither one of those boys done it. Couldn't get neither one of them to admit that. Neither one of them done it. Apparently, I imagined it, Brother Joe. You know, let me just share something with you. I paid for my stuff. And I told the manager, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to employ that, I will never walk back in this store. No decent young lady ought to walk in this. You know why guys get away with that stuff? We let them get away with that stuff. I said, no decent Christian young lady ought to be able to walk in a place like this and have one of your employees do something like that. I said, if I was you, that young man wouldn't finish the night. He'd be in his truck heading home. He'd be looking for another job. And I said, it better never happen. You know, amen. Amen. Well, I was heading to the car after that, paid for my stuff. Hannah slipped her little arm in my elbow and said, Daddy, thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. You know, husbands, your wife needs to feel secure with you, safe with you. You know what Christ said? Christ said, now listen, husbands, I want you to love your wives as I love the church and gave myself for it. A man that wouldn't die for his wife, ain't worth spitting on. He didn't even worth spitting on. A man that would let his wife take abuse and not stand up for it, it ain't worth the time of day. And so you understand that. We ought to be in protect mode when it comes to the young ladies in our church. I mean it. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. We walk guard around these girls. I'm not going to have these girls picked on. I'm not going to have them mistreated. I'm not. Okay? I'm not going to do it. Now, these young ladies are young ladies. They're going to be treated properly. They're going to be treated kindly. Okay? And so get that in your head. We walk guard around this place. We watch the children. You know, a ministry like this, unfortunately, attracts people from time to time. And they see these buses run, pedophiles. And we keep an eye on the published list of sex offenders in our community. There's been more than one. Our ushers keep up on this stuff. More than one time I've had a man come to church and say, Preacher, and listen, you say, Preacher, how do you handle that? I'm going to tell you how we handle it. And if you want to be, if you would do it different, then when you pastor a church, do it different. But this is how we're going to do it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Somebody's on the sex offender registry, and they come to a service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we find out about it. Either me or Brother Reiser, a lot of times both of us, will go see that man, and we'll tell him that he is not ever to step foot on the premises of Blessed Hope Baptist Church again. Well, Preacher, it happened 10 years ago, and they're changed. And okay, fine. All right, good for them. They can go church somewhere else. Sorry, I'm not risking our young people. There is no sin. You talk to anybody in the criminal justice system, there is no sin, there's no crime that's more oft repeated than the crime I'm talking about right now. And as much as we try to watch people, I cannot have somebody guarding every bathroom, every nook and cranny of this church. We've got too many places going on, too many different things. I ain't doing it. That's what I'm going to do. We'll say, but Preacher, I'm sorry. We just have too many children here. Let them go to one of these churches around here that have all senior citizens. How come, by the way, they're not interested in going to that church? How come they're not interested in that kind of church? All right? And so, you know, we got to do what we can. But get that in you, men. You ought to be very protective of the young ladies around here. You ought to watch over them. Okay, I mean that. Take care of them. And young ladies, you know what? Don't come charging up here and grab a door handle if a man's standing there. Stop and wait. Let him open the door. You know, one of the things I can tell you, if you want to be treated like a lady, be a lady. Okay? And young men, I don't want you mistreating our girls. I know sometimes you tease and carry on, if you do it within the right boundaries, but be careful. Because sometimes you're saying things that are way too caustic and way too mean-spirited, and you need to not do that. It's just a bad habit to get into in life. Treat ladies with respect and treat them good. By the way, girls, you ought to treat each other good. Most of the time, I don't have trouble with guys mistreating the girls. I got trouble with girls mistreating each other. Amen. You can say amen right there. I agree. Don't act like it don't happen. I raised three daughters. I've been in this thing for a while. You know, y'all just learn to be nice to each other. Might be a good thing. But God gave him a purpose. Now, folks, this isn't a man. Ladies, if you try to rewire this, you're gonna short something out. It's not gonna be good. It's in a man. And you try to change these basic things, it's gonna cause problems. You ought to rejoice in it. You ought to be thankful for it. And so be glad of these things. So God gave man both purpose and responsibility. Now let me finish with this thought. We'll pick up here next week. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, then we see that God creates a woman to be a helper designed specifically for the man. Now, I want to say some things that are going to sound a bit archaic. I didn't jump on the ERA bandwagon when it came flying through here in the 1970s. I'm an official member of the Society of Male Chauvinist Pigs. I mean, call me whatever you want to call me. But what I really am is a Bible believer. The ladies that are frustrated in life are the ladies that do not understand the intent. You take a man away from the intent for which he was created, and I don't care how much he thinks he is going to like it, he gets frustrated, and he doesn't feel fulfilled in what God's called him to do. Now, the Bible says, verse 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. That's two words, not one word. A lot of times people say help meet. A help meet for him, and a helper that's meet for him or designed specifically for him. Eve wasn't just any woman. Eve was created with a part of what was in Adam as the basic material, basic construction material. Well, you ought to get this. You ought to get this. Okay, some of you have a little trouble. You're struggling a little bit with this. Some of you young people, I understand. Listen, there's. Let me just see if I can help y'all with something. None of the kids here are bad. If between 7th and 12th grade, they'd get a little crush on somebody else. In fact, I'm a little worried about them if they don't. That doesn't make them a bad person because... Now, listen, you think, oh, well, not my girl. I promise you right now. There ain't a girl in this row right now, up here. You know why? Because God made them that way. They're men catchers. They are. They're men catchers. You know, you ever heard the old phrase, you know, he chased her until she caught him? That's exactly what's going on. They can sit there and say, oh, no, Dad, Mom, I don't know. I just love Jesus. I just. Love the Bible, Dad. There ain't a one of these kids. Right? All right, come on now. This is where the rubber meets the road. We might as well say it. There ain't a one of these kids that ain't got their eyeball on somebody. A little bit of feelings for somebody. Now, young people, it's not wrong for you to have those feelings, but you have to learn what to do with those feelings. You got to learn how to manage those feelings. Are you getting this? You do. And if you don't learn how to manage them, that's what's going to get you in trouble. And so you follow the parameters of the rules that Mom and Dad set up in your home, and you take good advice, but it's not abnormal about it. Not a bad kid. Oh, I found out so-and-so has feelings for so-and-so. That doesn't make them a bad kid. It makes them normal. But at the same time, we're not going to let you run wild with that thing. It shouldn't. And it doesn't make your parents bad people for putting restrictions on that. Amen? Okay, I'm going to just make a prediction. And if you don't believe me, we'll do a little test. Whoever that guy is right now, you just write his name down on a piece of paper, seal it in an envelope. I swear on the holy word of God, holy King James Bible, I will not open that envelope except on your wedding day. And I guarantee you, probably in 100% of the cases, on your wedding day when I'm opening that, you're going to be going, put it away, this isn't the guy. Be back there getting ready to walk down the aisle. I'll be going, you know, come on, we're talking about real stuff here, you know. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's a reason that we say, okay, you know what, in God's time, there's a time in life to preserve those things, and there's a time in life to learn to manage those things. You need to possess your body in sanctification and honor, be honorable. And there's time and place for that stuff and all that thing. But I want you to understand, folks, listen to me. The reason these girls are the way they are, I mean, you ought to see our house like that right now. It's ridiculous. A wedding's being planned. It's in every room. There's stuff hanging everywhere. I come home at night. Guess what we're talking about? Every night, guess what we're talking about? Glory to God. You know why? The way she was made. It's the way she was made. Amen? Amen. Now, what God did was he said this. I'm going to make a man, and I'm going to find a work for him to do, a will for his life, and a work for him to do. And I'm going to put in that protectiveness as part of his makeup, because I'm going to give him a help meet, and it's going to be his job to protect her. But you know what? The job that I give him to do, he'll do better if he has a helper. And so I'm going to give him a helper. Now, I know this flies in the face of feminism, but the Bible, you can't be a Bible-believing Christian feminist. You cannot. Because what was told to our young ladies in these last 40 or 50 years is that, you know what, you're less of a person if you're a stay-at-home what? Stay-at-home mom. Like, you know, you turn on the View or the Talk or the Babblings or the Murmurings or whatever, you've got a bunch of women. By the way, check out their lives. Who've had disastrous personal lives. Most of them haven't even been able to figure out how to keep a marriage together, but they're going to sit there an hour and give you advice about life. And some of our ladies are watching some of that stuff, and they start getting a discontentment, feeling like I'm less than what I could be because I haven't got a career. I haven't gone out there and, wait a minute, your husband is your ministry. Your husband is your ministry. I don't think it's wrong. There's been times when Cheryl's worked jobs and I've worked jobs, and I'm not going to stand up here and say it, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. The primary purpose of your creation was to come alongside your husband, find out what the will of God for him is, and help him be successful in what God's called him to do and to be. And that is not some second-class situation. That's not some second-class calling. I would pray that every young lady in this room finds the man that God created for you. And you'll find it through patience, not through pursuit. You'll find it through patience, not through pursuit. You will. You will. If you're patient, you'll find it through patience, not through pursuit. You just let God take care of the timing on it. And you know what? God woke up Adam when it was time. God brought him Eve when it was time. And you know what? It happened in God's perfect time. It's not going to happen when you're 14. If it is, it's not God putting it together. It's not going to happen when you're 16. Sorry. 17. Sorry. Most of it ain't going to happen when it's 18. Sorry. We're going to end up forcing something that's outside the will of God just to prove that, you know what, you know better than the preacher. You know better than mom and dad. If I had a dime for every kid that knew better. And listen, I don't take any joy in this. There isn't a I told you so bone in this preacher's body. There's a lot of tears. A lot of heartbreak. We're not in it so that when somebody messes up, we can say, see? But the sad part of it is, young people have chosen to prove these principles true over and over again, both by doing it the right way and sometimes by doing it the wrong way. And so, young ladies, listen to me. Preacher, I want to have a meeting in your office. I think I know what God's called me to do. I do too. It's just get on your knees every night and pray. God, help me to be patient to find the man that you have made for me. Because just like, I believe with all my heart, just like a part of Adam was in that young lady, I believe a part of that young man's already in you. Somebody said, well, how do you know? How will you know? Isn't it interesting? What's the answer to that question, folks? Isn't that what we say? We just know. You know why? Because there's something that is supernatural, preordained of God. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. And so what an exciting thing. Ladies, this is why God created you. When you decide that you're going to pursue man's responsibilities, and some ladies I've even say want to assume the protective status in the relationship, you know what? You're going sideways of what God made you to be. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be frustrated. And so marriage is honorable. Be patient. Don't miss it. You can mess up in some areas of your life and recover. You can goof up and get it right. You marry the wrong person, you've signed up for some heartache. You've just signed up for some heartache. And so it's worth waiting for God's perfect will. And if you got any questions about whether I'm right on that, we got paper and envelopes, right, in the back. See my wife, she'll let you write down whatever you'd like to write down. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had here. What a wonderful thing, Lord, it is. What a wonderful plan you had. Eden must have been an incredible place. And Lord, before sin messed it up, and Lord, it was us that chose to sin, before we messed it up, boy, that must have been some kind of a marriage, some kind of relationship. We don't know how many years, we don't know how much time Adam and Eve had together before the snake slithered into Eden and tempted these two, but God, help us to go back and take a quick look, and Lord, bless. Protect the marriages of our church family. Watch over them. Help us to, Lord, every husband to hold his wife very dearly in his heart, in his estimation. May he treat her very kindly and appropriately. And Lord, may every wife here love her husband, treat him like a king. And Lord, may there be a divine sweetness that comes upon these marriages. Lord, help maybe the couples that are struggling a little bit. And Lord, they're in the married couple in this room, stand up saying that we never had a problem, never had an issue, never had to struggle a little bit. Lord, during those times, Satan is so good at trying to bring discouragement and despair. And as we preach this morning, sometimes even a sense of hopelessness. But God, there's always hope with you. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd protect very sweetly and very divinely the marriages, the families. Watch over our young ladies. Watch over our young men. Take really very good care of them, please, God. And protect them. Lord, may they fulfill your will for their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.